This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 60.
One snap for the Colts, 1 second left. Texans up three, trying to hang on. Richardson out of the gun. Here's the snap. He steps to his left. Richardson in trouble. And Richardson's going to be sacked. Will Anderson Jr. and Daniil Hunter get him. The ball comes out. There's a scrum for it. Everybody's still chasing it. And Will ends up with it. Game over. Houston wins. Bye-bye, Colts.
Bye-bye, Colts, indeed. It's a reaction. In fact, let me start that again. It's a victory.
Yes, it
Reaction
is.
Monday in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. You got John Lopez. Yeah, Figgy Fig. He has been activated. He is on. He is dressed out. And he is playing on this victory action Monday. That's right. That's right. He is back in there. And, of course, I'm Reginald Atitula hanging out with you. Texans get a 23-20 victory. See, we knew they'd win. 3 points. I don't know if that was what I anticipated, but they got the victory that we anticipated. 6-2 are your Houston Texans. And always get involved with the program. 713-572-4610 is the number of the 5-Hour Energy fan line. That is the text line to get at us. The YouTube and Twitch both active for you as well. And all of those places are the place to let us know if you feel better about the Texans after a 23-20 victory over the Indianapolis Colts. They go ahead and go from what was a one-game lead and possibly was a tie at the top of first place to what is, in effect, a three-game lead, right? You sweep the Colts for the second time in franchise history. And in addition to that, right, you get a win at home against the Colts, which you had not done in, I believe, about 5 years, if I remember correctly. And like I said, you get a three-game lead because you have the two-game lead, plus the Colts now obviously have lost the season series, so they don't have a tiebreaker. They would need to win more games than you in order to win.
And that ain't happening.
It feels like this was the day that you won the AFC South.
Yeah.
It might be a little presumptuous, but it feels like this was the day you won the AFC South. You got another victory, as you know, you're stacking wins. Do you feel better about this team, John?
See, the way you laid that out, it would point me to say, yeah, man.
See, that's what I'm trying to do. Positivity.
Yeah, man. You better not say no. But why are you going to hit me with such a tough question right out of the chute here? Do you feel better now about this team? What a great question.
Thanks, man. Thought of it myself.
713-572-4610 if you want to weigh in, or on YouTube or Twitch. Because that's got a lot of levels to it. The way you laid it out, absolutely you have to feel better. You got the division. The division is going to be won. But it isn't by much. I mean, there are some things that, you know, we're going to dig in today. Short week, so work fast this week.
That's right.
You know, work fast, Figgy. Work fast, Reggie. Because we got a lot to cover by Thursday when they go to New York to face the Jets. But yeah, by a smidge, you know, by a smidge, I feel better because, that, you know, obviously you got the win. You got the division. You've got a defense. And boy, are we going to dig in on this, because I think the defense is, it's the calling card right now.
Oh, absolutely.
It's the calling card for this squad.
I'll go a step further. Yeah. I looked during the course of this game, and you could say that this was like a late time to make this realization considering everything that we've seen. I think I turned to Brandon Scott, who typically sits to my right, and I was like, okay, so the defensive line is 100% the best part of this team.
If not the cornerbacks.
I'd still go defensive line.
I probably would.
I was like, defensive line is 100%. I mean, this was a dude in Anthony Richardson that presents and continues to present issues when it comes to corralling him, bringing him down. Big, strong dude. And very early in that, you see Will Anderson Jr. Bring that big old Maloof down, and you're like, oh, okay, cool. Like these guys can do it whenever, right? Like they have established themselves as pressure getters. Now they also have gotten into their sack era of the season because they're stacking up.
Sounds like an album.
That's right. They're stacking up these the sacks where they're actually hitting the quarterback. They're affecting quarterbacks, and that helps the entirety of the defense. And then there was a couple of times at the end of the game where this game was again a lot closer than it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
And you're constantly just going, hey, roll this defense out and let's see if they can stop them. And they come up with more than you can expect.
Yeah, they.
In this way.
This is their calling card, is the defense. It's not maybe what we expected, but it is. And you take it because that is a way to win games like this when it is ugly. That said, you know, things that make you maybe not feel better.
Okay.
You know, there are a number of them, and that's why it's such a good question, because you're thinking, okay, I feel better overall. But the offensive line is still a huge issue and got injured with a player that stepped in and maybe could have been a little bit of a difference maker there. There are still injury concerns, major injury concerns that we're going to be monitoring this year. You know, there are still disjointed, maybe is the best word, lapses on offense. There is still being in a close game against a really bad team with a quarterback playing one of his worst games ever. Now, maybe that's a credit to the defense, because quarterbacks in Houston have had a very hard time being successful. Just go down the list. So, yes, I feel better, but yes, there are a lot of things to clean up, as D'Amico Ryans might say.
Yeah, and I know that I was actually, I don't remember what exactly I was looking at, but in watching it, I was looking at the YouTube and the comments on the side, and somebody was like, the last thing I want to hear this week is we have things to clean up.
Well.
Right, this felt like the opportunity
you will.
In a get-right game to have an opportunity to have a get-right game and show up and, you know, do all of the things that you wanted to do right. And what's funny about that is, in that alternate universe where the Texans do all of the things that we've been asking of them, I think we still have questions as to, okay, how much of that is the opponent, right, that you're facing off against, and how much of that is sustainable and all those things. But you didn't even get to that point.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things that we were talking about going into this as a show was the fact that the Colts defensive line did not generate a lot of pressure on quarterbacks. And it was like, okay, this is an opportunity for your offensive line to show up and have some level of protection. And early on, that was not the case. And of course, you have Buck in this game, DeForest Buckner. And, you know, he presented a little bit of a shift for that Colts defense, right? He has more pass rush to him. But Odeyingbo has been there as well. Mm-hmm. And he is also applying pressure in this on C.J. Stroud to a degree that honestly is probably higher than he had at any other point in the season as well. So, like, you have your quarterback under pressure against a Colts team that had no business having pressure. Like,
not a good defense.
No.
Buck or no Buck. And for your quarterback in this game at home, when, you know, the crowd is on your side and presumably in certain instances helping you, and quiet when it needs to be quiet, although we'll talk about that maybe. You give up 57% of the time that he dropped back, 52, 57, something like that, that he was under pressure. That ain't great, man.
No.
That ain't great.
But, okay, and this is where I have to try and make sure that I, you know, thread the needle, because it's not, that's we're starting to get to the place where we're looking at the negatives of it, but then I can come back around to some of the positives of it. And I believe that this is highlight number 13, Fig, if you could have this for me, because it feels like offensively, I don't know that in theory we looked at this team as like, hey, they're gonna have a great run game, but apparently you could just make the entire offense out of Joe Mixon.
Second down and a long eight here for Houston, with Stroud in the shotgun set. Mixon to his right, two receivers stacked. Wide side, right cuts left, 10, 5, Mixon. Handoff, Mixon, starts right, cuts left, 10, 5, Mixon still going. Takes out a defender and takes the ball into the end zone. Jones couldn't bring him down. Mixon has 6 for Houston, and they can tie the game with the extra point.
Mixon with a grown man run.
That's right.
Get off me.
That's right.
Boy,
what
was
a run by Joe Mixon.
Incredible.
I am a fan.
Us too, Andre.
I am a fan too.
And that was your 5-hour energy, high energy play of the game, 5-hour energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans. And yeah, during the course of this game, early on, They're throwing the ball to Joe Mixon out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. He's giving you explosive runs. He's bringing, bringing the pain to everybody on the field, including Tank Dell, if they're in his way, right? Joe Mixon, it seems like no matter if you're blocking it up particularly well or what have you, Joe Mixon is going to make things happen. What an incredible offseason addition.
Vision, power, the ability to explode into the hole. He's the MVP of this team, at least the offense, to this point in the season because of what he can do on there. Now let's talk about like why this was such a good win. Because you can talk about the nitpicks, and we will. You can talk about some of the things that make you want to sort of wring your hands when you're asked the question. Do you feel better about this team? But the good things to me were, and I feel like, and here's another cliche coming up. I feel like it was really kind of a culture win, because let's look at what happened here. Despite it all, you had two starting linebackers out, you had a starting safety out, and dude stepped up. Dude stepped up. The old next man up mentality was in big play right there. Kenyon Green was awful, got benched. Jarrett Patterson came in, and you saw immediately. Now, he got hurt, but you saw immediately what could happen there. Diggs went down, and almost immediately, Tank Dell flipped a switch.
Yeah.
Like, immediately.
Yeah.
Not only that, but then you got appearances from Xavier Hutchinson and John Metchie. So the thing that D'Amico Ryans has been saying, all along, like, this is the culture, the swarm, all this other thing. It was on the field. To have those guys step up. Hey, Eric Murray, come on down. That was a guy that stepped in and made plays. So there are things to feel good about with this squad, no doubt about it.
And yet still, you win a game by 3 whole points. Like, that's the thing, is no matter which way I cut it, I keep coming back to this feeling where it's not a word. It's not a specific answer. It's just,
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a win. That's a win that clearly has big stakes and ramifications and division standings, right? It's yet another just general win, puts you closer to being atop the AFC, which is, a great place to be. You're in effect, you're still battling for the potential of a bye.
Yeah.
When you say it like that, it kind of sounds insane, but like the process of it, right? I know some people will call it style points, but I feel like that kind of alludes what I'm ultimately getting to. Style points is one thing. That makes it seem as though I'm talking about, I need the flash and whatever. Mm-hmm. I need to feel good about it. No. I'm talking about the process, right? The process is the thing that you can use as a predictor of future success. And the process can be so swirly, especially on offense. Like defense, as you mentioned, even with men down, they're still making some things shake. Yeah, there's some opportunities over the top that Anthony Richardson just can't hit.
But, yeah.
I mean, look, yeah, there's going to be weaknesses and everything, but they've done a good job of continuing to maintain and get better, right? Special teams has handled up on theirs. Mm-hmm. Offense is the place where it just feels like it's not coming together, and that's the place that felt like it was supposed to be your tip of the spear as a team. And so with the question of do you feel better about this team after this game, I can't say yes.
You can't.
I can't say I feel like particularly worse, though. Like, it's just in this weird nebulous place where they got the win, but they didn't do it in a spectacular fashion against a Colts team that they probably should have won in spectacular fashion.
Let me make you feel a little better, Texans fans. Figgy, I think you'll have my back on this, because we're talking about, it was kind of ugly. Yes, there were warts, and yes, this and that, and I'm not sure if I feel better. But out of 10 times, how many times would a previous Texans team have lost that game? 9? 8?
Yeah, I would say about 8.
Yeah, I thought 8.
Yeah.
That's why I said this was really, overall, by a smidge, it shows you where this team, how this team is built different. I'm not going to hit the bell because I think 2 is my limit per segment, but Reggie just did.
You're welcome.
But like, it is put together different. It is about how they play, about these guys, these backups, starters out, Diggs goes out. Man, all of a sudden Tank Dell, Xavier Hutchinson, and John Metchie are involved and contributing. That Metchie catch was enormous. That one down the field to the right, on the right side of the scrimmage. Look, I think at least 8 out of 10 times previous Texans teams lose that game, and that's why you should feel pretty good, but don't ignore don't ignore some of the things that are out there.
I think it's a good feeling winning these type of games, too, because once you get in the playoff, everything ain't going to be a blowout.
Right.
You're going to have some of these games where you're going to have to grind it out like that. But sometimes it's still a little troubling because I felt like they should be better than this.
They should be. No, you're not wrong. They should be.
And they build themselves. Yeah. It's interesting, though, because, like, I know that it could be easy to look and say, oh, man, there you guys being negative. It feels like this has been the tenor in the locker room again for these guys, where they know that there's still meat on the bone with this team. And you're starting to get, I think people are starting to get tired of, we need to clean it up. It's like, when are you going to get to that meat on the bone, or is that just going to be left?
It's week 8, man.
It's down there midway.
We going to week 9.
But I don't feel like we're being negative. I feel like we're being honest here.
Well, certainly.
Yeah. Like I think there are a lot of positives here that we have just lined up.
Yeah, you can still be a good team and still critique this team like this, because if you look at the Chiefs are undefeated.
Yeah.
And they still complaining about the Chiefs like they didn't just win a Super Bowl.
Right.
And haven't lost a game this year.
Now, am I also missing part of this, which is it feels good to just beat the Colts, no matter how you do it, because the Colts themselves are a team that need to be humbled at any given point.
Boy, ask Mark Vandermeer. We can all argue about who your biggest rival is, what team you hate the most.
He hates the Colts more than the Titans.
Anyone I've ever
seen. The Jags.
Yes. Yeah. He hates the Colts. And probably with good reason, but I don't feel like it's negative. I think it's like, okay, it's also the standard, right? The standard is different.
That's part of it.
The standard is different. And, you know, if you're a rising team, if this were the case last year, this exact same season happened last year, we'd be like, man, look at them. Look at them getting it done.
Yeah, rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
Probably nobody expected this team to win anything.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, they went all out.
The standard has changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they have declared themselves in some ways as being Super Bowl contenders, as trying to be Super Bowl contenders. We look at them in that vein. And look, I don't know that game held up the Super Bowl standard. Mm-hmm. However, it was indeed a win. They moved to 6-2, like with a record of a Super Bowl contender. And maybe a blessing in disguise in some ways is that you have a very quick turnaround to where you can't really dwell on that. You immediately have to get back into your game planning and game prep move for Thursday when you face off against the New York Jets at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. Halloween, in fact.
On Halloween.
You don't want that to be a spooky occasion. Just getting going on a victory reaction Monday, where we're still trying to figure out exactly how we feel about the Texans. 23-20 victory.
Did we figure anything out in that
segment? Nope. It was just it's just the beginnings of what'll be a four-hour therapy session on trying to untangle the emotions that the Texans have established for us here. In a victory that feels possibly Pyrrhic. We'll talk about that later in the program. But coming up next on In the Loop, we got to get into the OG's passive thoughts. What were the things that you figured and you saw and you thought about during the course of this victory? We'll talk about it next.